This is Pastor Ken Elsley, and he's the missionary we support in Arkansas with the Hispanic Church. And I'm going to turn it over to you. We're glad you're here, sir.
Amen. So appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate your pastor, and I appreciate your church. It's been a blessing to have a part in your ministry, supporting the country of Bolivia for many years. Y'all have had a part in our ministry there, and then also starting the Spanish church there in Rogers, Arkansas. And I apologize, I didn't really have a video prepared for today, but because you had a great part in what we did there in Bolivia, I have some, it is a video that I had made a while back, and you'll be able to see some of our works there in Bolivia, some of the things we've got to do. Everything, at the beginning, it'll be flying into the jungle. We spent 10 days on the border of Bolivia and Brazil, just going village to village, preaching, and Lord just really blessed through ministries like that. And then you'll see some of our churches that we started, and just how the Lord used us while we were there in Bolivia. And then tonight, I'll try to have some pictures together that that will show our ministry now in Rogers, Arkansas, what the Lord's doing there. And so it is a blessing to be with you. I sure appreciate, and it's a blessing to have heat. Amen. I was telling the ones in Sunday school this morning, I thank the Lord God called me to some place where at least it gets warm, and they shut everything down when it gets cold there. And it's exciting to be here with you this morning. And I guess we'll go ahead and show the video, and then we'll continue on with the service.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
If you give to missions, you had a big part in those people's lives. And there's many Bolivian people that will be in heaven, you'll see one day, because of what you gave and sacrificed to get them the gospel. And that road that you saw, that kind of just dropped off there, you can look it up, the world's most dangerous road. In Bolivia, or the world's most dangerous road, and we lived off that road. You may have seen on the History Channel or Discovery, we travel that road every day, and that was me driving where it just dropped off the edge there, and you get to where you're kind of comfortable with driving on that road, probably how many of you are driving on the ice. Us from Arkansas, we don't know how to drive on ice, but anyways, a lot of people died because they got comfortable on the road, and Lord just allowed us to do a lot of things, reach a lot of people there, and I told the Sunday school this morning that our first service we had 126 in our service, and Lord just really blessed. And it's exciting being in the ministry. It's exciting. One thing that we always told our kids, we got to come up here in 2004. And one thing we always told our kids, you know, when we came up here, we stayed in a tent in a lot of places. It was in the summertime. And so we stayed in a tent. We didn't have money to stay in a hotel. And so we stayed in a tent. We were up here a little over a month, I think, going to different churches. I always got to tell told our kids we got to go to places that other people don't get to see. Y'all live in some places that a lot of people would love to see. And I always told them that, you know, we get to do this because we're in the ministry. And, you know, they're living in the Andes Mountains for nearly 10 years, living in the jungle, and some of the things that we got to see. We always told the kids, you know, people, save a lifetime to just come and visit places like we get to see every day. I thank the Lord for my kids. They see the ministry as something great, something they want to be a part of. And I thank y'all for having a part in our ministry. And like I said, tonight I'll try to show some pictures of our church there in Rogers. Our church is 100% of people that we've won to Christ. You know, English-speaking churches, get the blessing of good church members moving from another state to your state and join your church and help and those things. But in the Spanish culture, the Spanish church, there's not a whole lot of good independent Baptist churches preaching the gospel, and they're not moving too many different places, especially Rogers, Arkansas. And one reason that we started a Spanish church there was because it is the home of Tyson Chicken. So we have a lot of chicken farms there, and so there's a lot of workers drawn to that area to work in with the chicken and industry there. And it's also the home of Walmart. That brings more Indian people and different people from other countries, but that is Bentonville, which is right next to Rogers, where we're at. So y'all pray for us. We're enjoying reaching the Hispanics there. We lost a few because of the elections. They were a little bit upset with me. They didn't understand how that I could vote for somebody that would maybe kick some of their family out of the country. And so y'all pray for us on that issue. It's a real thing in their life. You know, for us, I love the United States of America, and I'm against illegals being in this country, but if they're here, I'm going to win them to Christ. Amen? And so God has them here for a reason, and we're going to win as many of them as we can. But that is a struggle. That is a struggle, trying to build a church and to teach them the right things and things. One of our the man that's preaching today got saved two years ago in our church, one of the first days of our church, got saved and just started devouring the Word of God and just excited about serving the Lord. And his wife's been saved and his kids. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he is illegal. And he said his wife is a citizen of the United States and he's trying to get all his paperwork. And he said, Pastor, you know, I'll take it this way. He said, if I get sent home, I'll just take it that God wants me to be a missionary in Guatemala, and I'll go and do what the Lord has for me there. But on the way here, me traveling here, he told me that he received some papers in the mail, and it looks like he's going to be able to get his paperwork here. So he's really excited about that, and I am too. I do want to say thanks for my dad being able to be here with me a couple months before I lost my wife. My wife passed away. My mother passed away, my dad's wife. So this last year, both of us lost our wives, and we got to spend some good time traveling up here, and he was really a blessing to help me drive. I think he would rather that he drive more than me, but I drive maybe a little faster than him. But anyways, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I know the Super Bowl is tonight, but I want to encourage you to come tonight. You know, you only get one opportunity to have a missions conference, a missions month each year, and you ought to take as much advantage as you could. Sounds like some people may be recording the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to preach long tonight. I'll do my best to get out as soon as possible. Be like a preacher friend of mine that I heard. He said, you know, I'll try to preach 15 minutes. Hadn't been able to do it yet, but I am very aware of the time and want to be good on the time. In Matthew, we're going to start in Matthew. I thought I'd read this before we get started, though. I like writing quotes in my Bible. I put here, it says, the amount you give, talking about faith promise, the amount you give will be determined by your view of God's supply. Did you get that? The amount you give will be determined by your view of God's supply. You can't tap into the supernatural until you exhaust the natural. And then the last one here, if Jesus if Jesus be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a good time this morning. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, and I'm going to read to verse 33. If I skip a word or add a word, I do have a King James Bible. Dyslexic, and so I do that sometimes. But anyways, starting in verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Sorry. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this great church. I pray that you would just bless this service. Lord, if there be someone here that's not saved, I know we're talking about missions today, but God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just convict the hearts of the people that are here that might not know you as their Lord and Savior. God, if there's ones here that are not given to missions, I pray you would challenge their hearts to do so. God, that we might be able to do so much more for your honor and your glory around this world. God, we love you and thank you for all that you do. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love this story about Peter walking on water, but I realized something. You know, before you can walk on water, there's a few things that you have to do. And the first one this morning, I would find in verse 29. We'll look in that verse 28 there first. It says, And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. So I think the first thing that we would need to realize this morning is that before we can get out of the boat, and getting out of the boat is stepping out by faith. Amen? That is just symbolizing that I'm stepping out by faith. I'm gonna do something that only God can permit me to do. And Peter realized that he would not be able to walk on water. He would not be able to go to Christ on the water if God did not permit him. And so in this verse 29, he says, And he said, Come. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is that before you give a faith promise commitment this month, at the end of the month, you'll be praying about it. And you know what? God is not confused about what you need to give this year. He is not confused at all. We're the ones that are thinking about it, praying about it, but he already has exactly in his mind set what you need to do this year. And so if you don't figure it out by the end of the month, it's your fault, not God's fault. Amen. And so but Peter, he realized that whenever God said, come, he was giving him a green light to step out of the boat. He was giving him a green light to walk on water. And so first off, we must receive a word from God before we step out by faith. You know, if you out and you buy a new house and you begin to pay the mortgage and after a couple months of paying that mortgage, it gets really difficult to pay it. You don't have the money and you say, Lord, you said you would take care of my needs. You said you would provide my needs and things. And then you're asking him, Lord, you gotta help me in this situation. Maybe the Lord's saying, I didn't tell you to buy the house. I didn't tell you to buy the car. I didn't tell you to buy that expensive cell phone. And sometimes we begin to throw things on God, and he never gave us the green light to go in that direction. And, you know, we as Christians, when we're praying by faith, asking God, wanting to step out of the boat, wanting to do something great for him, we need to wait until that green light comes. I remember as a young married man wanting to do more for missions, excited about missions, and I could see what other people were doing in the church, and I was really excited about doing what they were doing for missions. And my financial state was not very well at that time. And I remember one year I made a commitment to give to missions, but it was much greater than I think even the Lord had challenged me to give. But I was wanting to keep up with everybody else. I was wanting to do what everybody else was doing for missions. And, you know, that whole year I gave my faith promise faithfully. I never missed because I made a commitment to God. But you know what? The whole year I suffered because I didn't get a green light from the Lord before I stepped out of the boat. And I want to tell you to this morning that God will help you. God will guide you and direct you. You know, right now I give much more to missions now than I did then. But you know what? I seek the face of God and I ask him, what is it that you would have me to give to missions this year? What is it that you would have me do for the cause of Christ in the area of missions this year? And whenever he settles it in my heart, then I act upon that. And so this morning, I think us as Christians, we'd be wise to ask God, what is it that I can do? What is it? Can I step out of the boat? You know, if you don't have a number in your mind, if this is the first time you've ever given to missions and you're excited about it, maybe you can just throw something out there and say, God, could I do this? Could I do this? And if being wise, if he gives you the green light, if he settles it in your heart that would be the direction that you go, step out by faith. The second thing this morning is believe that you can. You know what? There's a lot of people, they get a word from God. They get a direction from God. God says, yes, you can be a missionary. Yes, you can be a pastor. Yes, you can teach a Sunday school class or run a bus route. But they get that confirmation. I see a lot of young people do this. They go to camp. They come to the altar and God challenges them to do something great for God. But then they never act upon it. Then they never put it into action. And a lot of Christians do that sometimes. Sometimes they get the confirmation from the Lord that you can step out by faith. You can do even more than what you thought you could do. But then they never act upon it. Believe that you can do it. Believe that you can do it. You know, for Peter, Jesus could have said, yes, come. He told him, yes, you can. But if he would have never stepped out of the boat, then he would have never acted upon the word of God that God had given him. And you know, whenever he did step out of the boat, he could have total confidence in what he was doing because he was acting upon the word of God. He was acting upon the word of God. Look over in your Bibles in Luke 6:38. Many of you may know this verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. shall men give unto your bosom. For with the measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So the Bible, there's a principle there saying, if you give, then God will give back. Amen? There's a principle there. And so when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was stepping on the Word of God. He was stepping on what God said he could do. And we as Christians, we ought to do the same thing here at Missions Conference and in every aspect of our life. We ought to follow the leading of the Word of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. I remember when God called me to preach at 23 years old, I thought, Lord, are you sure? Because as a young man, I struggled through school. I think I got help through school a lot because I played football and I was good at football. I had letters from LSU and from Baylor and some different schools and I didn't want to do school anymore. That's why I didn't pursue football. But I had opportunities and my coaches kind of helped me when I made a bad test grade. They knew I had to have the scores. A lot of times they would help me. They would encourage me. They would talk to the teachers, allow me to maybe take the test over again. And I remember I had a struggle with reading, and I couldn't hardly read at all. And I thought, Lord, how in the world am I going to be a pastor? How am I going to be able to teach or preach and not be able to read? And I went to Bible college and was learned to read there. I just learned that when God calls, He enables. When God gives you a direction, you can stand on His Word and you can move forward and just trust Him for what's in the future. And I remember after Bible college, I got to work with my dad a little while, and then I went and took a church and a very small church of about three families or so, and then the Lord grew it, and then we were able to get a building. Just trying to throw all this in real quick, but have a Christian school. The Lord was blessing and blessing and blessing, and my wife said, what do you think about Bolivia? And I said, we're too busy here. Look at all the people that have gotten saved in our church and the great things that God's doing. And she just left it alone. If you knew the whole story, when Angie was 18 years old, she got saved in my dad's church in Houston, Texas, and I never wanted to date her because I wasn't living right for the Lord at that time, and I just knew that she was a godly lady. She devoured the Word of God. She passed up a lot of Christians in the first 6 months of her Christian life, just reading the Word of God and soaking it up. And I remember when I did start talking to her, dating her, one day she was at the altar and she was just praying and praying and praying. After the service was over, everybody was out in the back in a fellowship hall. And she was there praying, and I went up to her, and I asked her if everything was okay. She said, yes. And I said, well, why are you crying? She said, I think God wants me to be a missionary. In that moment, I said, I think we just need to be friends. and so while we were friends, I ended up asking her to marry me. And long story short, God began to move on our hearts about Bolivia. And I thought, Lord, I don't even know English. How in the world am I going to learn another language? And we surrendered to Bolivia. We resigned our church. I told them I would stay until we got another pastor, and it didn't take long to replace me. And then we took off, and we went to a language school for about 3 months in Texas. And while we were down there, there was hundreds of people studying Spanish down there, hundreds of people. And we were trying to study. My wife was just grabbing it. She was very, very smart, and I'm struggling and just couldn't get it. And the president of the school came up to me and said, Brother Elsie, I think you need to pray about going to a different country. He said, you're never going to learn Spanish. And so this was 3 months after we started. So I quit the school, and we moved to Bolivia. And so we moved to Bolivia, and when I got there, the very first time that I was going to start the church. I just couldn't say hardly anything. Had to read my messages. We had 126 our very first day. 18 people got saved that day. You know, God can do things if we just act upon what He's put in our life. Act upon the Word of God that He's taught us in our life. The faith that He's given us. And, you know, our first year anniversary, we had 400 in attendance. We had just great things happening. Over 32 saved that day. And just great things happening. But it wasn't because of Kenneth Elsey. It was because of someone just relying on the Lord and stepping out of the boat and saying, God, I'm not much, but would you use me? God, would you use me? And you know, there's people here today that God wants to use in a great way, and He can use you in a great way. But you're afraid to step out of the boat. All the other folks stayed in that boat that day. But one of them wanted to get close to Jesus. One thing is, after you get a word from the Lord, you believe that you can do it, you have to step out of the boat. The next thing is, don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on the storm. You know, whenever Angie was 23 years old and I was in Bible college, she gave birth to our first child. She got really, really sick. And she got to where her hands would just split open and bleed, and her feet would split open and bleed. I don't have time to explain it all, but just very, very sick at 23 years old. And I remember we were preparing to go in the ministry, and once we got to ready to go to Bolivia and stuff, people were saying, you're crazy. Why would you go to a country when your wife is so sick? Why would you go to a country like that? Because we're stepping out on the Word of God. Stepping out on what He called us to do. Angie loved Bolivia. Angie got tuberculosis there in Bolivia. And after being really, really sick, it never slowed her down. She was very busy over there. But she got tuberculosis and nearly died in 2011. I remember my pastor calling me and saying, Brother Elsey, if you want to come home, he said, I'll put the money in your account and you can fly home tomorrow. And I remember going in the room where my wife laid in the bed. And I remember telling her that. And my heart didn't want to leave Bolivia. But I loved my wife and I wanted the best for her. And she said, God's not done with us. We stayed a couple more years there in Bolivia. And through circumstances, you know, one thing that she always wanted it to be clear to me and to other people is we didn't come back to the United States because Angie was sick. Right. Angie was willing to die on the mission field. But we felt like God put us in a place and that God begin to move our hearts to the Hispanic people here in the United States. I remember having a world map and just praying over the world, asking God, where would you use us? If you don't open up a door here, if we can't start another church here, where would you use us? Folks, there's a lot to be done in this world. We get focused in this little area, and we forget that there's a lot of people out here. A lot of people here in Montana, a lot of people around this country that needs somebody preaching the gospel. Don't listen to the, or don't get your, get your eyes focused on the storm. Don't listen to the people in the boat. It was a lot of those people, good people, pastors, friends, that said, why would you go? Why are you going to leave this country? You know what? I've seen many of Bolivian boys surrender to the ministry in Bolivia, and then their parents discourage them from going into that because they know that there's no money in pastoring a church in Bolivia. We have a man, the church that you saw there that had over 400 in attendance, a man there worked with me for 5 years, but When he came to work for me, he was a professional soccer player in Bolivia. And that is the dream of every little boy in Bolivia, to be a professional soccer player. His parents were so proud of him, and he began to work with us. And one day he came up to me and he said, "Pastor, I think I'm gonna quit soccer and just preach." That's like, you know, you're a Dallas Cowboy or whatever, you know, a New England Patriot, and say, "I'm gonna give up this money. I'm going to give up everything, and I'm going to move out in the jungle and take a little church that's going to pay me maybe $100 a month and invest my life in the people in this area." Folks, a lot of times we allow other people to affect our decisions. His mom and dad thought he was crazy because they were very poor people. He was the savior of the family to be able to bring money to them and those things. But he wanted to please the Lord more. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm really running fast. I'm trying to finish up in about 2 minutes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, looking at these verses here and, you know, in verse 30 it says, "But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Folks, why do we wait until situations in our life have gotten so out of hand that we call upon the Lord? Why do we wait until, we try to figure everything out on our own? And we wait until the last moment. I always pictured Peter just his hand up in the air and he's drowning and he comes up and says, "Lord, save me." And the Lord helps him. But right here in this verse it says, "And beginning to sink." And beginning to sink. You know what I thought? You know what I think happened? As he was walking across the water there, he felt the water to begin to go over his feet a little bit. And he felt like something's wrong. Something's not right. "God, I need your help." Folks, so many times we allow sin to come in our life and to affect our life in a negative way. And it affects everything that we do. It affects our ministry. It affects our walk with Christ. It'll affect your missions giving. And it'll affect everything that you're doing in life for the Lord. Why can't we be sensitive enough whenever we feel something changing, when we feel that something's not right? "God, I need your help right now. God, I need your help right now." Many a times we make a commitment and we find ourselves about mid-year through and we have done giving that commitment up. We've made a commitment. We stepped out of the boat, out by faith, and we're walking on the water, doing things that other people can't do. And then we take our eyes off Christ. We start to look at our situation, and we fail to keep our commitment. We fail to accomplish what God has called us to do, whether it's watching the kids in the nursery, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or running a bus route or whatever it is. We allow us taking our eyes off Christ to destroy our ministry. I want to challenge you this morning to get a word from God. God's word is full of promises. And if you can grab onto a promise and say, "God, I'm going to trust you for this. Give and it shall be given." You know, I had never been able to do that before or have that confidence, but I'm going to step out by faith and trust you this morning to give so that you can meet the needs of other people all over the world. You know, whenever you're walking on water, there's rewards. You get to do things that other people are afraid to do. You know, there's not another person in the Bible besides Jesus that can say they walked on water. Not another person. And what God has called you to do, whether no matter what it is, it's special for you. It's special for you. There's not another person in this world that can meet the thing or do the things that God has for you to do. You know, I think of that, Lord. I always thought, Lord, if you call me back to the United States someday, I don't want to speak Spanish. Because I still struggle with it. I struggle with it. And the other day, I was thinking as I was there at the church looking at the people and things, and I thought, why in the world do you have me in this place when there's so many other people that can speak Spanish much better than me? And I just thought, the Lord just settled in my heart. He said, you were the one that got out of the boat. Amen. You know, there's some people, there's some places that need to be filled in this church. Some opportunities to serve. But you have to be willing to get out of the boat. It may be out of your comfort zone, but that's whenever you can look back and say it was all God and it was nothing of you. It was all God. Santiago, that's pastoring the church there in Bolivia, you know, when he came, he said, I'll do anything, but I don't want to work with kids. He was afraid of kids. That's the first thing I put him doing, working with kids. And now he's such a great preacher. He was scared to talk to people. And I think about it, I was the same way. And there's people here today that may have those same, maybe timid in those areas. But God is nudging you, saying, go ahead and get out of the boat. Go ahead and see what I can do through you this year in the area of missions. I can do much more than you could ever dream. You know, if God would have said, you know, when he called me to preach, if he would have told me that one day I was going to be speaking in Spanish, I wouldn't have surrendered to preach probably. If he would have told me I would move to a foreign country and just all the things we were able to do, preaching in many other countries, in Argentina and many places, you know, it would have scared me to death. But you know what? The first step was saying, God, I'm just going to stand on your word. I feel totally insignificant to be able to stand before anybody and preach your word. But if you have that confidence in me, I'll step out of the boat. I'll do what you want me to do. And there's been hundreds and hundreds of people saved. Because we stepped out of the boat and because of you doing the same thing in the area of giving, in the area of teaching a class or whatever. But I want to challenge you. If you're not doing something like that, if you're not giving to missions, I want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never been saved. You've never experienced the love of God in your heart. Maybe this morning you stepping out of the boat is just trusting in God. Saying, God, I don't understand it all. I don't know why you want me. I'm sinful. I'm not a good person. But I realize Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I want to put my faith and trust in that this morning. What he did on the cross, the blood that he shed on Calvary for me. And I'm going to step out this morning and say, God, here's my life. Use it how you want to use it. Come into my heart and save me. You know what? God has the power to change your life today. He has the power to change your life. Let's pray. I don't know how you normally do your invitation, but as they prepare to sing, I just ask you to stand this morning. If God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Maybe you just need to come down here this morning and pray about what it might be that you give to missions this year. Maybe you already know. Maybe you need to say, God, would you allow me to do this? Would you allow me to go a little further than what I think I can do? And if He gives you that green light, step out of the boat. As they begin to play this morning, the altars are open. In just a second, I'll turn it over to the pastor. But maybe you're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, you know, I'm really not sure if I were to die today, if I'd go to heaven. I'm not saying if you're 80% sure or 90% sure. Are you 100% sure this morning, if you were to die, you would spend eternity in heaven? With everybody in their heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you could be honest this morning and just by lifting your hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Would there be someone like that this morning? Not sure that Christ lives in your heart. Today's your day. Today's your day.
Page 383 this morning. 383. time when the Lord works with our hearts, that again is a supernatural, powerful thing. To think the maker of the stars and moons, the heavens and the earth and everything speaks to little old me. It's amazing. God loves me. He's interested in me. He wants the best for each and every one of us. He desperately wants us to obey Him. He wants us to serve Him. And why shouldn't we? We have so much to be grateful for. Wherein we love Him because He loved us first. I'd like to invite everybody back tonight. We'll close in prayer. Thank you for being here today, Brother Bill Nelson. Would you close us in prayer, please?